إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. أما بعد, today inshallah we will conclude the reflections on Surah Al-Fatiha with the last ayah which we started yesterday, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. And we saw yesterday, we mentioned the first part of the ayah, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, the path of those on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his inam. And we saw that this is the dua that we are making to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us on the path which is the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself and you that the love of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa is not merely the love of a person who was worthy of being loved. That goes without saying. But Islamically, the love of the Messenger of Allah is the love of Allah Himself. Because it's not because there is no difference between the Messenger and Allah. That is one of the problems of people who make ghulu and who create problems for themselves. It is because the Messenger is the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, when we obey the Messenger, we are obeying the message. And the message is from Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself mentioned this, وَمَنْ يُطِئِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَى اللَّهِ. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who obeys the Messenger has obeyed Allah. And therefore, we have to understand that to love Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a part of deen. It is part of our aqeedah. It is part of our iman and our Islam. If somebody does not love Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that person has to rethink his own faith. Is he a Muslim at all? I am not sitting here to make fatwa on who is a Muslim and who is not a Muslim, but I am saying the principles of Islam is that we love Muhammad Rasulullah and we love him because he is the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is part of our faith. Now, what is the meaning of love of Muhammad? Does it mean that we dance in ecstasy? Does it mean that we cook a certain kind of food on a particular day and eat it? Does it mean that we do this or that? No. To love Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to follow his sunnah in every aspect of our life. The love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not something to be on the tips of our tongues and not anywhere else in our lives. It is a strange thing that two people see nothing strange about talking about the ishq of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet if you look in their lives, in their appearance, in their clothing, in their faces, in their behavior, in their akhlaq, in their ma'amilat, you do not see any sign of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a strange thing. How is it that you say you love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you speak about him and you sing nasheed about him and you recite poetry in praise of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you organize big majalis and big gatherings on this day and that day in the memory of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet there is no sign of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your life. Now, this is a very strange thing. And people don't see this strange. They don't see this as being strange. They do not see this. They do not see anything strange in sitting on the stage in a jalsa Miladun Nabi. I'm not even talking about whether Miladun Nabi to do it or not do it is correct or incorrect. Forget that. I am saying that even if it is correct, and if you have organized this jalsa, there are people who find nothing wrong and feel no sense of shame in sitting in that jalsa with their beard shaved. What kind of Miladun Nabi is this? What kind of which Nabi are you talking about? Which sunnah? Which ishq of which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So when we make this dua, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, we have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he is the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the love of his Nabi condition of iman. In Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very clearly in the ayat itself. In the famous hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that your iman is not complete until you love me more than you love anything else in the world, including your own selves. And of course, I am not going into the detail of the hadith and so on and so forth. All of us are aware. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned this to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. The key is not today, our problem is not knowledge itself, it's not information, it's not that we don't know. Issue is to practice what we know. Alhamdulillah, there is no rocket science. I don't think there is anything that I say which is new. It's all old stuff which we have heard a million times. The key thing I remind myself and you is not whether it is new or old, it is whether we are practicing it or not. Islam is the name of practice, it is the name, not the name of a theory, and Islam will benefit only those who practice it. So we ask, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, we asked for the Sirat, we asked for the path of steadfastness, and we saw that this path of steadfastness that Allah, that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the path of the Sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So we made this dua and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this dua for us, insha'Allah. And then we come to the next part of the ayat, which is Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. After that, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Again, as I mentioned yesterday, the dua is اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. The dua ends with that. That is the dua. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. There is no change in the dua. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم is re-emphasizing, re-clarification of this dua. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين is even more clarification of the same dua. To continue the example I gave yesterday, if I say, please go to road number 1, that instruction in itself should be complete. However, to ensure that you do not go to some other place, I say to you, go to road number 1. Road number 1 is the one on which there is care hospital. Now, if I want to ensure that this instruction is followed even more, if I want to re-clarify the instruction, what will I say? Road number 1 is not the one on which there is Pizza Hut. So, I am giving you an instruction. I am saying what it is and I am saying what it is not. It is the same road, road number 1. Saying road number 1 alone would have been enough. But just to ensure that there is absolutely no scope of any misunderstanding, what do I do? I do two things. One is I emphasize and I clarify by saying what it is. And then I re-emphasize by saying what it is not. Road number 1 is the one on which there is care hospital. And road number 1 is not the one on which there is Pizza Hut. And this is what has been done in the surah. Ihdinas Sirat al-Mustaqim. O Allah, guide us to the path of steadfastness. Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. O Allah, the path of those who you made your inam on. The path of those who you blessed. The path of those who were rightly guided. The path of the Anbiya and the Salihin and the Shuhada and the Siddiqeen. And O Allah, not the path of Maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Not the path of those who attracted your anger. Not the path of those who you were angry with. Maghdubi alayhim. Not the path of those who were the objects of your punishment. Who are the people who are the objects of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Historically, we know who they are. Point is, and I want to emphasize this, many times we get carried away and we think that this part of the ayah refers to certain kinds of certain people. No, it refers to certain kind of people, whoever they may be, in whichever time of history. It's not related to a specific nation, a specific nationality, a specific tribe of a particular time. No. Who are Maghdub alayhim? Anyone who attracts the anger of Allah. Who attracts the anger of Allah? Anyone who disobeys Allah. It's very simple. Anybody who is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attracts the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may forgive the person, he may not get angry with the person initially and so on. That is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the person is asking for trouble. It's like that. For example, sometimes we see how our young men in this city, how they ride their motorcycles. Right? The one guy who yesterday I saw who was literally sort of weaving through the traffic at great speed, swinging his bike this way and that way. Now, he didn't have an accident, he did not die before my eyes, alhamdulillah. I don't want to see that also. But my point is, that is asking for trouble. Yes, I mean, would you recommend that way of driving a motorcycle to anybody? Would you say, I think that's a good thing to do, you know, we should do it? I mean, there are fools who follow that. May Allah protect us. That's how they get charged up, you know. They, oh my, look at him, I should do more. That's insane. It's complete insanity. You're looking at somebody who is clearly walking the path of destruction. And if you get motivated by that, then what does it say about your intelligence? Right? So obviously, even though the result of that destruction is not visible immediately, nobody will say that what the man is doing is right. Right? So if the guy is driving his bike like that, or is driving his car like that, you will say he is begging for an accident. He is asking for trouble. This fellow is headed for the graveyard, he's headed for the cemetery, or he's headed for the hospital or something, because this is not the way to drive. Right? So Maghdubi Alayhim is to be seen in this way, which is that if we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are asking for trouble. Now, whether this trouble happens immediately or it does not happen immediately, this is from the mashiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we should not think that trouble will not come. This is a very big mistake, and this is what shaitan, sort of invites us towards, this misunderstanding. And that's why I gave the example of this motorcycle driving, which, as I said, some people get excited by that. They are stupid. They are completely stupid. If you are on a path of destruction, one day or the other, it will happen. There is no doubt about that. The only way you can avoid it is by tawbah, by stopping that nonsense, by turning around, by ensuring that, no, I don't drive like this, alhamdulillah, I came all this way, nothing happened to me, alhamdulillah, now I am going to follow the rule. So, maghdubi alayhim is any action which attracts the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that refers to all forms of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Arabic word for disobedience is kufr, is to hide something, it is to go against something, it is to be rebellious. The levels are different, not everything is the same, but definitely any kind of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is potentially, it attracts the anger of Allah. Now, in this disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, among the most critical, among the most dangerous is to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the faraid. For example, not to follow the faraid, not to disregard the faraid. Allah made salah fard, we don't pray. Right? We think it is something that is to be done at our personal convenience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made zakat fard, but we have, and He has given us wealth. Alhamdulillah, we can pay zakat, but we don't pay. We try all kinds of things. So, I am not making a list here, but I am just saying these are the major issues of not following the faraid, of deliberately doing haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made alcohol haram, but we drink. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made gambling haram, but we go to the races, we gamble, we bet on horses, we play cards, and we play cards for money and all sorts of things. So, the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram, to do them, not to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fard. Very, very critical one is to be disrespectful in any way about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let me emphasize and re-emphasize and re-emphasize. One of the finest way of attracting disaster on your head is to be disrespectful about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I have seen in my own life, wallah alam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides everybody except the one who is disrespectful to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I have seen people who have been involved in all kinds of things. You know, and you would say, well, this man, look at him, there's no way that he can ever get guidance. He gets guidance. On the other hand, we have people who are basically, if you look at their lives, they don't lie, they don't cheat, they are nice people, very good manners, and so on and so forth. But they speak about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without respect. They treat the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as if they are trash, as if they have no meaning. They talk about the ahadith of sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they make all. I don't want to sit here and repeat those comments. We all know that. But though they behave in that manner, and I have seen that despite the fact that otherwise they are nice people, I mean, otherwise they are, you know, good people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide them. And those people die on kufr, they die without iman. May Allah protect us from this. One of the greatest fitnas of today is the misconception that people have that it is, that the to follow the sunnah is optional, to to pay regard to the ahadith of Rasulullah sallam is not necessary. To speak about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with respect that is due to him as the messenger of Allah is not required, and that we can talk about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any way we like. One of the ways in which this happens, also I have seen, and I know that people who speak like that, they do not mean disrespect, but it is still disrespectful, which is that they take the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam without saying sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not the way of a Muslim, believe me. This is not the way of a Muslim. For a Muslim to say, Muhammad said this, Muhammad said that, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. What kind of Muslim are you? How can you do that? I mean, how can you simply say, Muhammad said this? Who is Muhammad? Who is Muhammad? You don't even say that about your own father. Eh? You do not even take your, in the name of your own father, and your father is not even like the dust on the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is your father compared to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And you take the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Similarly, this continues. People take the names of the Khulafa'i Rashida without saying radiyallahu anhu. They take the names of Sahaba without saying radiyallahu anhu. Very, very bad behavior, very bad manners. This is not the way of a Muslim. Omar said this, Ali said this, Abu Bakr said this. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Shame on these people. They must get some manners. They must get some adab. This deen is a deen of adab. You don't take the name of, my standard thing to these people is this. I say, if you spit at the sun, the spit falls in your face. Understand this very clearly. You do not cause any harm to those people by being disrespectful. You just show the level of your breeding. You show the level of your own akhlaq. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Let us make this a habit. We never, never, never take the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one. Number two, we never take the names of the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majmain without saying radiyallahu anhu. Extremely, extremely important for us. This is a matter of our own manners and our own respect. I'm not saying if you do not say radiyallahu anhu, you become kafir. No, I'm not sitting here making fatwa. I'm just saying these are the akhlaq of the Muslim. These are the akhlaq of the Muslim. Why don't you call your mother by her name? Why don't you call your father by his name? You don't become a kafir with that also. Huh? We don't do that because that is not us. This is not our deen. This is not our way. We are not like this. Right? We are not like this. This is not our way. And therefore, let us not fall into this trap of modernity, which is a big, big, big fitna. So, ghairil maghdubi alayhim are people who al-maghdubi alayhim are people who attract the anger of Allah. And when we say ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim, we are saying, oh Allah, do not make me among them. Do not make me among them. That is the reason why Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullah alayhi said, Surah al-Fatiha is tawbah. He said that when the person is saying Surah al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, he is saying, oh Allah, put me on the path of guidance, of righteousness, of steadfastness. He is making tawbah from everything which is not the path of steadfastness. When he is saying ghairil maghdubi alayhim, he is making tawbah from all those actions which he or she used to do, which attract the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the women to walk around without a hijab, for the women to dress in a way which is not Islamic, attracts the anger of Allah. Whether you like it or you don't like it, this is the reality. As I said, I don't make the rules, I don't break the rules, and therefore, no point in being angry with me. I have to say what I have to say. For women to walk around without hijab is haram. It angers Allah. It attracts the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For us to have weddings which are israf, which have all kinds of non-Muslim customs and practices in them, attracts the anger of Allah. And then we make dua, oh Allah, fill the lives of these newly married people with happiness. How is it going to happen? You're going to fill the lives of these newly married people with happiness by attracting the anger of Allah? How is it going to happen? In our convoluted thinking, we think this happens. It does not happen. It does not happen. You are filling their lives with nahusat. We are filling their lives with misfortune. Your choice. Your choice. So let us not fool ourselves. Let us ensure that we do the right things. So we said, ghairil maghdubi alayhi. And that's why Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullah said, Surah al-Fatiha is tawbah. So let we make tawbah. When we say ghairil maghdubi alayhim, let us make tawbah. O Allah, do not include me among those who attracted your anger. I make tawbah that I clean my life from everything which attracts your anger. Walad dalin. and not among those who were misguided. Who are the misguided? The misguided are the other end of the spectrum. One end of the spectrum are people who do not give enough respect. On the other end of the spectrum are people who take respect to a level where this respect becomes a problem. It becomes a something which is not jaiz, which is haram. For example, to use the same example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the one hand you have people who treat Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without respect that is due to him as the messenger of Allah. On the other hand, there are people who take in their misguided ideas about what is love, they take Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they say things about him sallallahu alaihi wasallam which he himself never said. They say things about him which his sahaba, who knew him better than anybody else, who loved him more than anybody else ever can, they never said. These are the people who take Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they say Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was actually not a human being, he was part of the noor of Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself in the Quran said many times that you are a human being, and these people now they know about Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than Allah knows, na'uz billah. And they say he is a part of the noor of Allah. How can he be part of the noor of Allah? Did he ever say I am the noor of Allah? He never said this. They make up these stories, they make up these things, they create maudu ahadith, which is fabricated ahadith, and they show them as proof. This is not jais. They take it a step further and they say he went in Miraj and he went behind the curtain, and then the one who was seeing and the one who was being seen, they were the same, which means now they made him into Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. They say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is hadir nadir, meaning that he is in every place, physically present at every time. They have majalis of durood, everyone stands and they recite salam, and there is an empty chair. You ask him, why is there empty? Why is this chair empty? My back is paining, can I sit in the chair? No, the chair is empty. Why is it? It's not empty. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting in this chair. So, subhanallah, ajeeb, he is sitting in this chair, then who is in this qabr there in Medina? There are people standing there and sending salam on an empty qabr because he is sitting in your house. And then there are another 100 people, 1,000 people, million people who are doing the same thing. So, he is in all those chairs and he is in the... La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What deen is this? It's certainly not Islam. This deen is not Islam. This deen is not the deen that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought. Did he say that I am physically present in 50 places? Did he say call me and I will come? Did he say when you send salam on me, stand up and then send salam? And where did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us to send salam? In tashahud, sitting down in salah. That is where we send salam on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was the difference between us and the Sahaba. When the ayat came, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. The Sahaba did not start doing something. They didn't start dancing. They said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to send salat and salam on you. How do we do this? Please teach us. They used to ask. They did not invent. They could have invented just like us. They did not invent. That was their tarbiyah. They asked, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them how to do it. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. He said, send salam on me in this way. And he said, when you are anywhere in the world you are, when you send salam on me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an angel to convey this to me in my khabar. After I am dead also this will happen. How does this happen? We don't know, we don't care. Alhamdulillah, it happens. This is our iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, and this is our iman. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prescribe all these ways? He did not prescribe any of these ways. The people who say this, the people who do this, these kalimat are kalimat of open shirk. Open shirk. So, on the one hand, you have people who do not give respect. On the other hand, you have people who take the respect, the hulu, to an extent where there is no... Allah, may Allah protect us. It becomes open shirk, clean out of Islam. We have no idea. This is not, certainly not Islam. Allah Alam what it is. And that is what we are making tawbah from. So when you are saying غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, we are making tawbah from both these extremes. Islam is the name of the middle path. And what is the middle path? Is the middle path is the path of justice. What is the path of justice? The path of justice is to do what is correct. And what is correct is to give respect that is required to be given, neither less nor more. neither less nor more. Giving more respect is not respect. That is insanity, that's crazy. You love your wife so much and you say, oh, you are like my mother. I respect you more than my mother. And this is respect. You're mad. You're crazy. I mean, you love your wife, but you say you are my mother. What respect is this? This is stupid. This is completely insane talk. I mean, any woman who is worth her salt, she will not be happy. She will be angry with you. So what kind of nonsense is this? You're calling me your mother. So let us not go to extremes. Okay. Let us not go to extremes. Let us not fall into this trap of falling into extremes. Let us be clear. What did we ask Allah for? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Siratul Mustaqim. And therefore, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lead us to Siratul Mustaqim. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to stay on a Siratul Mustaqim with istiqamat, with steadfastness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from everything which is disobedience, which attracts his anger. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from everything which is misguidance and ghulu, which also attracts his anger. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and to keep us on the path of righteousness and the path of steadfastness, the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all through our lives, and to take our lives in that state when we are on the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to take our lives in a state when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.